Here's a question that sounds simple and isn't. When another airplane shows up on your traffic display, painted right there next to your own little airplane symbol, how did that target actually get to your screen? Not the physics of it, the plumbing, the path that signal took to reach your cockpit. Because in the United States, that path is stranger than almost any pilot realizes. We built our traffic surveillance system on two different radio frequencies that cannot hear each other, and then we had to invent a whole second system whose entire job is to translate between them. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct. Today, we're going to break down the split date link 978 and 1090. Why America is the only country that did it this way, what it buys you, what it costs you, and why you might be flying around with a traffic picture that has holes in it you don't even know are there. Let's break this down. Before we get into the two frequencies, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones: first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a milestone coming up or somebody in your hangar who just knocked one out, go take a look. AviationSoul.com.
Okay.
Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. ADSB, let's define it cleanly, because the name actually tells you exactly what it is if you unpack it. Automatic, it's always running. No pilot input, no controller interrogation, the box just talks. Dependent, this is the key word. It depends on the airplane knowing where it is. Your ADS-B transmitter takes a position straight from a GPS receiver and broadcasts it. That's completely different from old radar, which figured out where you were by bouncing a signal off your aircraft. Radar was independent. It didn't care what you thought your position was. ADS-B trusts the airplane to report itself honestly. Surveillance. It's how you get watched by controllers and by other airplanes. Broadcast. And this is the part that matters most for today. It's a broadcast. It's not a phone call. Your airplane isn't sending its position to a specific controller or a specific airplane. It's shouting it out in every direction, and anybody with the right receiver tuned to the right frequency can hear it. Right frequency. Hold on to that. Now here's where the United States did something no one else on the planet did. Everywhere else in the world, ADS-B runs on one frequency, 1090 MHz. It's called 1090 ES, and the ES stands for Extended Squitter, which is a wonderfully aviation phrase that just means the transponder squirts out extra data along with its normal reply. One frequency, one standard. The whole rest of the world, one channel. America looked at that and said, we'll take two. Here's what most people miss about why. 1090 MHz is a crowded, noisy, busy piece of spectrum. It's the same frequency your Mode S transponder already lives on. It's the frequency air traffic control radar interrogates on. It's the frequency TSAS, the traffic collision avoidance system, uses to interrogate other airplanes and coordinate escape maneuvers. Every airliner, every business jet, every TSAS unit, every ground radar, all shouting on 1090. The engineers at the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, looked at the general aviation fleet. Hundreds of thousands of little airplanes, Cessnas, Pipers, Cubs, Homebuilts, and they thought if we push all of those onto 1092, we are going to jam that frequency solid. The channel will saturate. Everybody talking, nobody heard. So they built a second road, 978 MHz, the Universal Access Transceiver. UAT, a clean, empty frequency set aside for general aviation flying down low, and it could do something 1090 physically could not. It had the bandwidth to carry more than just position. The data tells an interesting story here, because that extra bandwidth is the whole reason 978 exists, and it's genuinely useful. On 978 UAT, you don't just get traffic. You get weather and information services beamed up from the ground for free. That's FISB, Flight Information Services Broadcast. That's how your tablet gets NEXRAD radar imagery, METRS, TAFs, temporary flight restrictions, pilot reports, winds aloft, all of it. No subscription, no monthly bill. If you've ever looked at weather on 4Flight or Garmin Pilot coming from a portable receiver and thought, how is this free? The answer is 978 UAT. That free weather pipe simply does not exist on 1090. There isn't room for it. So now you can see the trade the FAA made: two frequencies. The airlines and the high flyers on 1090, because they already had Mode S hardware up there, and they fly internationally where 1090 is the only game in town. And general aviation down low gets the option of 978, a quieter channel with a free weather bonus baked in on paper. Elegant. Everybody on the road that fits them best. Here's the problem. A broadcast on 978 cannot be heard by a receiver on 1090, and a broadcast on 1090 cannot be heard by a receiver on 978. They are different radios on different frequencies. It's like two groups of people in the same room, one speaking one language, one speaking another, and neither can understand a word the other says. So, picture the sky over your airplane. You're in a Cessna 172 with a 978 UAT box. Above you, a business jet climbing out with a 1090 ES transponder. You are both broadcasting your position beautifully, constantly, honestly, and you cannot hear each other. At all, his signal sails right past your antenna in a language your receiver doesn't speak, and yours sails right past his. That is a catastrophe for a collision avoidance system. The whole point was to see each other. And we just built a system where half the airplanes are invisible to the other half. So the FAA had to invent something to fix the thing they broke on purpose. This is where it gets clever. And honestly, a little bit crazy. Enter ADSR Automatic Dependent Surveillance, rebroadcast. That R on the end is the fix. Here's how it works. The ground infrastructure, the network of ADS-B ground stations scattered across the country. They can hear both frequencies. Every station has ears on 978 and ears on 1090. So the ground station hears that business jet up on 1090, and it hears you down on 978, and it acts as a translator. It takes the jet's 1090 position, repackages it, and rebroadcasts it down to you on 978. The frequency you can actually hear. And it takes your 978 position and rebroadcasts it up on 1090, so the jet can see you. The ground fills in the gap between the two languages. That's ADSR, it's a relay. A translator sitting on a tower converting 978 to 1090 and back, in real time. So the split fleet can finally see itself, and there's a companion to it. TISB, Traffic Information Services Broadcast. That's the piece that takes airplanes the ground radar sees, but that aren't broadcasting ADS-B at all. Older airplanes with just a mode C transponder, and injects those targets into the picture too, so you get a fuller view of who's around you. So put it together. The traffic on your screen is arriving by three completely different paths. Some of it is direct, airplane to airplane, same frequency as you. Some of it is ADSR, translated across from the other frequency by a ground station. And some of it is TISB, pulled from radar and pushed up to you. Three streams stitched into one picture, and it looks seamless. You never know, except. Here's the honest catch, and this is the part every pilot flying with ADS-B in needs to understand in their bones. ADSR and TISB are not free-floating gifts in the sky. They are a service, and that service is tailored specifically to you. The ground station only sends you the translated traffic if it knows you're there and knows you want it. The technical term is that ADSR and TISB are client-based. The ground station builds a service volume, a bubble, around your airplane, but only after your airplane has announced itself by transmitting ADS-B out, roughly 15 nautical miles around you, 3,500 feet above and below. The ground looks at where you are, figures out which nearby traffic you can't already hear on your own frequency, and beams just that traffic to you. Which means, and here's the sting, if you're flying with a receiver that only listens ADS-B in with no ADS-B out, you are an eavesdropper. You never announced yourself. The ground station doesn't know you exist, so it never builds a bubble for you. It never sends you the ADSR translations. It never sends you the TISB radar targets. You will still hear the direct broadcasts on your own frequency, but that entire translated stream, all the traffic on the other frequency, all the radar-only traffic, it's just not coming to you. And your screen will look calm and complete and reassuring while an airplane on the other data link slides right through your area, totally invisible, and you never get a hint that there's a hole in your picture. That is the single most dangerous misunderstanding in ADS-B, and it comes directly from the two-frequency decision. A receive-only box gives you a partial picture that looks like a full one. There's a second gotcha too, and it also comes from the split, because ADSR is targeted to you, and because the ground station is trying to be efficient, sometimes you'll be flying along near the edge of two ground stations' coverage, and you'll see a ghost. The same airplane painted twice, slightly offset because two stations both decided to serve you and the geometry didn't line up perfectly. It's uncommon now, the system's gotten much better. But if you've ever seen a target briefly split into a phantom twin, that's the seam of the rebroadcast architecture showing through. So let's be balanced about this because I don't want to leave you thinking the whole thing is a house of cards. It absolutely is not. The pros are enormous, and they're real. Since the mandate took full effect in 2020, the coverage is spectacular. ADS-B ground stations see down into valleys and canyons where radar never reached, because radar needs line of sight from a big rotating dish, and these stations are everywhere. Controllers get position updates about once a second instead of once every several seconds from a sweeping radar. That's a night and day improvement in precision. Search and rescue, terrain coverage, separation in the mountains all better, and that free weather on 978 has genuinely changed how safely general aviation pilots make weather decisions. Those are not small wins, those are transformational, and the two-frequency gamble, for all its awkwardness, did protect 1090 from saturating. The engineers were right about the crowding risk. They just paid for it with complexity. But here's the honest accounting. We solved a spectrum crowding problem by creating a translation problem, and then we solved the translation problem with a ground-based relay that only works if you play by its rules. Every layer fixed the layer beneath it and added a new wrinkle on top. That's not a criticism, exactly. That's just what real engineering looks like when you're retrofitting an entire national airspace instead of designing on a clean sheet. Nobody got to start over. They had to build the new system on top of the transponders and radars that were already there. So, who's building and running all this? The FAA owns the architecture and the standards. The ground station network in the United States was largely built and is operated under contract by a company most pilots have never heard of, but you fly through their coverage every day. And the avionics, the boxes in your panel, come from the names you know, Garmin, UAvionics, Apereo, and a whole field of others making everything from certified installs to portable receivers you can Velcro to the glare shield. And here's the practical takeaway. The thing I want you to actually carry out of this segment. Know what's in your panel? If you have ADS-B out, you're a full participant. The ground builds your bubble, you get the translated traffic, you get the complete picture, subject to the normal limits of range and line of sight. Good. But if you're flying behind a receive-only box, one of those portable units that only listens, understand exactly what you have. You have weather, which is genuinely great, and you have some traffic, the direct stuff on your own frequency. But you do not have the full stitched picture. You are missing the other data link, and you're missing the radar-only airplanes, and nothing on your screen will warn you about the gap. So keep your eyes outside. That traffic display is an aid. It was never a promise. Here's the thing. I keep coming back to with ADS-B, it looks from the cockpit like the simplest possible idea. Every airplane says where it is, everybody sees everybody. Clean, modern, obvious, and underneath that clean little symbol on your screen is a two-frequency compromise, a translation service, a radar bridge, and a bubble that only exists because your airplane spoke up first. The simplicity is the illusion. The engineering is the truth, and knowing the difference between the two is what keeps you from trusting a picture that's quietly incomplete. My thanks to the FAA's own advisory circular material and the published ADS-B guidance for the technical backbone on this one, and to the avionics manufacturers whose documentation spells out the client-based service volumes better than anybody. You can find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep your GPS honest, keep your eyes outside, and I'll see you on the next one.